I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two starts now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. 2 hours still to go. Plenty more of the big show as we kick around Texans, Titans. Rockets play the Magic tonight, so we can talk about that a little bit if you'd like.
Oh, I can't wait.
You, Mr. I just don't understand you sometimes.
What?
I mean, you don't like to talk about basketball until Christmas, but Then there's no more football to talk about except for
what?
Except for NFL playoffs. College football is basically done for 3 weeks.
No, and December. Yet, he said December. He said no basketball until December is what he said.
No, he said he doesn't start thinking NBA till Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
That's how the whole country thinks.
Yeah. No, that's not true. That's how you think.
No, that's the whole kit and caboodle. Everybody.
Okay. Tell Kelly Iko and all these other people that have, like, rabid Rockets fans losing their mind on a daily basis.
Is it Iko or is it Iko?
Iko.
I have always called him Iko.
What kind of mentor the guy, and you mispronounce his name.
Yeah.
You don't even know his name?
That's not how it works.
Man. I appreciate you writing the book on how it works. I'll have to read it sometime.
He's your
right after I read Shut Up and Listen by Tillman Fertitta. I'll have to get on both of those on my reading list. We've got a lot going on between now and the end of the show. Basically, any nicknames they've came up with for Nick sucked so far.
Really?
Yep. Awful. And I'm looking out from your perspective, kind of like Barry did for me yesterday. I'm weeding through them to say you have missed nothing.
They're terrible.
Yeah, they're awful. And it's all stuff we've already had bits about in the past that if they just take it to a really bad level.
Yeah.
Like a really, like, don't even try if that's your effort.
We tried, or well, they tried.
Yeah.
All right, so I teased it during going into the break, but I thought this might upset you a little bit. But NFL.com has their QB index for week 15. Mm-hmm. And basically what they do is they have four guys that vote. So, like, all four of them have voted Lamar Jackson number one, right? Mm-hmm. And so the way they do it is they just take the four votes and then add it up and get an average and then rank them based on these four guys' votes. Lamar Jackson number one, consensus number one. Russell Wilson, consensus number two. Deshaun Watson was number three. Oh. Three guys voted for him to be number three. One guy voted for him to be number four. And then Patrick Mahomes was number four. Drew Brees, number five.
Okay.
So far, so good?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Probably about right.
Yeah.
Number six, Kirk Cousins.
Oh, God. Now that hurts.
Well,
you already know how I feel about him even if he wasn't a Viking. Yeah. I felt that way when he was a Redskin, too. That does hurt.
I knew it. See, and you were like, no, I don't care.
First of all, I didn't say it like that. But second of all.
No. All right. That's fair enough. You were like, no, I.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. Kirk Cousins, number six.
Will you tell me that Kyle Allen's number seven?
So the way they voted, he had a fifth place vote, 2 6th place votes, and an eighth place vote for Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
Number seven, mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers. He's
Look,
just slightly no, worse than fine. Kirk Cousins.
I don't like the fact that he's behind Kirk Cousins, but at the same time, when you look at the body of work this year from that team, you can argue, and it's a hell of an argument, but you could argue that Aaron Jones is more important to that offense, has been more important to that offense this year than Aaron Rodgers because he's carried a bigger load.
When 33 is running the ball, catching the ball, and scoring, and you've seen, we talked about Lamar Jackson with 5 touchdowns in a game. We've seen several games in which Jones has got 2 and 3 touchdowns in a game and close to 200 yards rushing. They have changed the dynamic of that offense as they got comfortable. Now, that's not to say that Aaron can't make the throws, but the other thing that's really frustrated me is, aside from Davante Adams, he has no one around him to throw to.
Yeah, they were saying he hadn't hit 300 passing yards in the last 5 games.
They keep trying to develop their young receivers and inexperienced receivers. And the big thing, if anybody knows anything about Rodgers, is he's a stickler for pinpoint route running and being, you know, where you're supposed to be. And these young guys just don't get it yet.
Now, this just popped in my head because we were talking about Brady earlier. It's a fine line, I think, in between making excuses for the quarterbacks and giving them credit. Because when Brady is going great, we always were like, wow, look what he's done without any weapons. The only time he really had a weapon was Moss and Gronk, and that's it. And so now he legitimately doesn't have weapons, and we're blaming the lack of weapons on his performance. It's the same way with Aaron Rodgers. Like you just said, he doesn't have weapons.
I'm not blaming it per se. I'm just bringing it up as a possible factor in several factors that have led to him not being the focal point of the offense like it once was.
Fair enough.
But I will say this. Come crunch time, there's not another guy that you want throwing as opposed to Brady. You bring up Brady. He's the second worst quarterback in the entire NFL in crunch time situations.
Really?
When they're talking about either down or a final drive or, you know, you need a score in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. He's the second worst quarterback this year in the NFL.
Who's the worst?
I'd have to look it back up, but it was someone that you would think would be the worst. Yeah. And it might even be Baker Mayfield, but I mean, but to have Tom Brady the second to last, you're like, whoa.
They show their stats for 2019. Mm-hmm. You couldn't tell them apart. 13 games, 70.1% completion for Cousins, 64.4% for Rodgers. 3,274 passing yards, Cousins, 3,260 for Rodgers, 8.4 yards per attempt for Cousins, 7.4 Rodgers, 24 passing touchdowns to 23, 4 interceptions to 2. I mean, literally, these numbers are identical.
Let me let you guys make the
decision.
That's
just crazy to me, though, when you remember that Cousins had lost his team.
Let me flip the script on you for 1 second.
And to consider how far he's come, it's pretty damn impressive.
All right.
Okay.
Who would you take if we flip the script? If you put Aaron Rodgers with Dalvin Cook, that line, Kyle Rudolph, and those two receivers, as opposed to putting Kirk Cousins on the Packers with Aaron Jones and the receivers that he's got.
Kirk Cousins made a name for himself in Washington with very little around him.
More than –
I said very little. He had some, but not like what he has in Minnesota.
I flipped the script on you. Who's better?
Oh, without a doubt, I'm taking Aaron Rodgers every day of the week. Yeah. I'm just saying it's odd to see one
– It's not odd. It's painful.
It's odd to see him above Kirk Cousins above Aaron Rodgers, but then when you consider how bad it was for Cousins early on to where he comes now, says a lot for his determination. And you know, people always tend to say he's never that good, and I never said he was a great quarterback, but he's always been top 10, bottom of the top 10. But people sleep on it. And I mean, even you were poo-pooing on him early in the season. I was like, man,
to me, his playoff reputation speaks for itself.
Well, sure.
So until he changes that, and look, this is another year to do it because I am definitely worried about how this season plays out between now and the end of the season. I think the Packers are very vulnerable against the Bears this week. I think they're going to lose in Minnesota, and then it's going to be the chance that the Packers could very well be a wild card instead of the division winner unless they handle their business. You thought they should run the table. That game at Minnesota, it's just for so many reasons, I don't see them winning that game. Now, I hope they do. But I also hope they don't sleep on a Bears team, which, again, we talk about rivalries in sports. No matter how wounded the Bears are.
Division rival.
You come in and play Green Bay in Green Bay, and they even if you're not going to the playoffs, you have a chance to knock the Packers down a notch.
Yeah.
It's a huge game.
Now, I'm not done with the list because the surprises continue to come.
Okay.
So Aaron Rodgers.
Basically, you're telling me the list sucks.
So Kirk Cousins was number 6. Aaron Rodgers was number 7. Mm-hmm. Number 8 on this list of quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill.
Well, look. You guys, and everybody can, they know what his name comes to mind every time you say it, because they think Dolphins, they think Suck City. But you look at, someone made the point in the last 24 hours, I don't know what I was watching, where they said, do you realize that next to Lamar Jackson, Ryan Tannehill over the last 6 weeks might be the second best quarterback in the league?
In 9 games, he's got 15 passing touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
I think he's 6-1 in his last 7.
Pretty crazy.
That is nuts.
Yeah.
And he's going to get paid because of it.
Oh.
Tennessee is going to keep him because of that.
Probably.
And give him good money.
Probably. But what's weird is, think about the names that are still out there that we haven't mentioned yet. So Ryan Tannehill checks in at number 8. Number 9, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Who I feel like has been having a much better season than that, but he does have the 11 interceptions.
Well, he got the moniker of game manager until the Ravens game and the Saints game when they started going, oh, maybe
and he
not.
Does, and he does have the 11 interceptions. And he, but, I mean, he's completing 70% of his passes. It's pretty damn good.
Including the passes he makes at porn stars. So, I mean, he's got that going for him.
Yeah. Number 10, Dak Prescott.
Do you realize he's the number one rated quarterback in terms of offense and production and all that stuff? Yeah. For as much as people poo-poo on the Cowboys.
He's got 4,100 passing yards this year, and it's not even close. That's why I'm a little surprised he's this low.
He should be higher.
But, I mean, the team result isn't great, but Dak Prescott individually has played pretty well. He's got 24 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, but it means he's rushed for a couple hundred yards and a couple touchdowns. So
that's a monster this week, the Cowboys and the Rams.
But we're through 10, and we haven't mentioned Brady.
Yeah, but that just shows you exactly what I was talking about, second worst rating this year in terms of under pressure, stress, you know, high stress situations with a chance to tie or win the game.
Brady checks in at 12.
I think that's I was actually surprised he was
Matt
that high.
Matt Ryan's ahead of him.
Matt Ryan's come on lately. Yeah. He had a bad start, but he's been playing better.
So
that's interesting.
Yep.
All right, lots more to get to, football and otherwise. If you do want to talk baseball, basketball, or football, it's all on the table today as we get you ready for the weekend. Of course, that big Texans and Titans game's coming up on Sunday in Tennessee. So we'll have Sarah Barshop at 3:30 to kind of give us a preview as she covers the Texans for ESPN. So with that being said, if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call that number, text that number, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I'm blessed to have three beautiful daughters. And one that's ugly as sin, but three of them are just adorable. I'm kidding around. Relax. I'd never say that about my own kid. It's a stepkid. That's not my fault. Yeah, I'm not. I do have four kids. I have my three daughters, and my youngest is my baby boy. And I got to tell you, he is absolutely hideous. I mean, it is jacked up. You know what? He's fine. He's a boy. He'll play football, wear a helmet. You don't need to see his face. Right? He's good. He'll be fine. Oh, ha, ha, ha. We're all laughing when I called my son ugly. I see how that is. Earlier, I made up a fictional daughter, called her ugly. You got all bent out of shape. I called my real son ugly, and you're like, yeah, that sounds about right. Probably looks like his dad. Whoever that is.
Hey, John Westling, Comedian of the Week on an F Yeah Friday, F for Funny. He is that. He has a new album out. Barry gave you a little bit of the backstory early in the show, but check him out. Funny, funny dude. Got one more clip at 3:15, but, I mean, for all the intensive reasons that we gave and more, local guy, makes it big, got an album. Basically, known Barry for a long, long time, mentored him through a lot of things. They travel together.
Is AJ introduced me to Westling.
Why does someone nice like John know someone
hang
like
out
AJ?
With AJ? AJ and I were doing the cage door, and I don't even think I was in radio yet. And I was talking to AJ about wanting to do stand up, and he goes, "Well, there's a guy at the station that does it. I need to introduce you." And that's how I met John Wesley.
So they were currently doing radio while you were still doing cage door with AJ.
Correct.
Okay.
And I wasn't in radio. I wasn't in stand up yet. But I knew AJ from the website, and AJ was like, yeah, let me introduce you to him. And so I went to the open mic and introduced myself to Westling. It goes, oh, yeah, AJ told me about you. And that was, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, I think, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, so I'll one go. More clip of John coming up at 3:15. But again, as Barry mentioned, he's got a new album out, so check it out if you can.
Go get it.
Support him, Billy D. Billy D's album broke, what, just a couple weeks ago when we featured him.
Yep.
So support the local comics that we try, as Barry said on FEF Friday, that we try to bring to your attention, because whether you're aware of them before or not, good things happening there, and it's always good to support the local peeps.
Somebody asked a question or brought it up, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Mm-hmm. And it involves Janoris Jenkins. If you don't know, the Giants cut him after he was – he went after him. We talked about it.
We mentioned about it the other day at practice while practice was going on. He wasn't practicing, but he's not supposed to have his phone.
But he said he wasn't there. It wasn't in the training because they said it was while he was getting treatment, but he doesn't get a signal in there. He said it had nothing to do with while he was, quote, at work.
He used what he said. They would call it the R word.
Yep.
Which can I say it? I did.
No, okay. I wouldn't say it.
But for
everybody knows what the R word is.
Challenged folk. And he says, then instead of apologizing for it, he said, "You don't understand. In the hood, that's just a thing, and people just use that word. And you should be able to use it."
Now, so I'm going to want to get sidetracked here.
Yep.
But I think what he says has some merit. There is some merit to that. As you look, the F word, not the FU word,
right,
but the disparaging word that some people use for homosexuals.
Oh, yep.
Is a word coming up that we never meant it maliciously. You would say that to your buddy, but it wasn't meant maliciously. Now, as you get older and an adult, you figure it out.
There's a lot of different things that have happened socially that have changed everything, right?
The R word was never meant maliciously like that. Like, I would never use that word describe somebody that was mentally challenged or handicapped. I would never do that.
It's a slight step above, but it's just like little people. The M word for little people. It's the same thing. Before, everybody used to use it. Now, it's taboo and you can't.
I mean, in 2019... in this woke culture, in this politically sensitive,
there's Me Too movements. There's everything that makes everybody hyper alert for everything.
Well, I don't know about the Me Too. I think that's to me that's a separate thing.
It is and it isn't because that's made everybody more on alert for everything and being like that's not okay.
I can say this as a comedian. I can tell you the political correctness and the words you can and can't say on stage, like the R word, like the F-A word. There's a lot of words in
general.
I
get what you're saying. I'm just saying, as a whole, society is more on alert because of all these different movements and all these different things, and people are more likely to scrutinize every word.
Okay.
I'm not trying to compare and say the Me Too movement is similar to those kind of words, but it's just everything's on alert now.
Everybody's hypersensitive,
right?
But I do agree that some people when coming up, that word just didn't have the same meaning or effect that is intended when used to be
totally
mean or malicious.
Because growing up in Milwaukee, same thing. There was a lot of words being thrown around that you didn't think twice about that. Now you would get absolutely in
we
big,
used to
big
play
trouble
a game with a football called smear the blank.
Yep.
Not the blank. No, that wasn't an attack on you. I love you just the way you are. Mm-hmm. But we played smear the, and there was never like, hey, so we got to go find a cue, and then we got to smear him. No, it was just the name of the game.
That's how it was when I was growing up, too. So I know exactly what you're talking
about. But my whole point is, I'm not trying to like justify this, but what he says there is merit to. Doesn't make it right. So you have to know in 2019 you can't use that word, dummy.
And that's where we're going
with
this.
But there is merit to his defense.
Reason why I bring it up is because that's what he said in response to when it all came out.
Yeah.
But it's one thing to say that publicly to try to explain to people, look, you may not understand this, but different ways of life, different people have different ways of saying things, and it's not offensive. However, you say that publicly to try to defend your statement. You don't say it to your head coach, because what they said was Shermer met with him privately, and all he wanted him to do was say, my bad, I'm sorry, that was my mistake, I shouldn't have done it. And he said after trying and trying and trying, and the fact that he was steadfast in the fact that he would not apologize, he didn't think he did anything wrong, and he wasn't taking it back, they took action, and they cut him. Now, I didn't realize this till you told me this. But they cut a guy that's second in the league in interceptions.
Yes, he was tied for second in the league for interceptions with four. He's tied for 15th in being targeted the most, and he's 31st in receptions allowed. So the league has gone at him. He's held his own. when you consider especially that, you know, at that position, it goes two and three deep. So especially in today's offenses, you got to have three corners on the field most of the time. I mean, most of these defenses are running with a slot corner pretty much, you know, 75% of the time. So the fact that he's tied for 31st in receptions allowed shows you that on the field he's having a really good year. 27th in solo tackles, 2nd in interceptions, 15th in targets. And last year he had a really good year. He was 9th in targets and 6th in receptions allowed.
The Jackrabbit.
6th.
Yep.
He was 21st in interceptions and 18th in solo tackles. He had a really good year last year. He's having a really good year this year. And then I started looking a little deeper. I got all this from Pro Football Focus because people were like, well, should the Texans go get Janoris Jenkins? One, your point at the break about how he is in the locker room.
That is a bigger issue than anything he does on the field.
Would agree. And then the more I started looking at it, I mean, he's pretty much in the same neighborhood as everybody they have already. So you're just really adding another Bradley Roby, Gerrion Conley, and to a lesser degree, Jonathan Joseph. But he's somewhere, I think, in between those two, and Conley and Roby.
Now, he has off the field more than the locker room. If you remember a couple years ago, he was in the middle of a pretty big deal, mm-hmm. which was outside the locker room, in which I believe he owned a house in which a major crime was committed. I'm not going to get into all the details again, but the fact that there was a whole back and forth at that point about what was going on, and it was, you know, friends and relatives of his, and how the story all played out. But you take that, you take the locker room, and you say, look, I know that since Mr. McNair passed away, they've been a little bit more open to, you know, getting just the best players into the locker room and on the field.
Yeah.
Is that too far?
I would think so, especially since you've got two guys like that. According to Pro Football Focus, they're all ranked. We're like Janoris Jenkins right now. His grade is a 64. All right. Then Gerrion Conley is graded at a 63.9. Bradley Roby is graded at a 60.
And what about
Hargraves? Oh, I'm sorry. That was last year. He was a 60. Bradley Roby this year is a 66.
Okay. And Hargraves, you got to factor him in. But again, look, when you know that you got three games to play, and obviously even if you brought him in, he wouldn't be ready to play this week for you. But at the same time, when you know you're going to face Tannehill one more time, when you know you're going to face Tampa Bay, and you know how much Jameis Winston throws it around, and you know how many problems you've had in your secondary, mm-hmm. if winning really is the key and they're really going for it this year, do they kick the tires on Janoris Jenkins?
I say no.
I don't think they will.
Already got three of those guys.
Yeah, I also don't think. Yeah, I just I don't think. I think it's too much.
Yeah.
You got any on this?
I just take issue with his age. That's the reason why I wouldn't sign him, because I think if you look at it from a perspective like, hey, he was he goes through college, he matures a little bit, he does 1 or 2 years at the college level, he gets to the NFL. 1 year into the NFL, he tweets something like that and doesn't acknowledge. Okay, he needs some maturing to do. But at 31 years of age, you should get the game by now and know that something like that is not going to go over well. And that's the reason why I wouldn't sign him.
Okay. Well, there you have that. All right, so those are all three opinions on should they or shouldn't they with Janoris Jenkins now that he's free. You know some team will, just like the 20 teams kicking the tires on Antonio Brown. You know that some team's going to go, you know what? We need someone to help us now. We'll take our chances. So we'll see what happens. We're going to take our chances that the second half's going to be better than the first half. And the first half wasn't bad of this show. So we're going to continue to roll on. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Second half coming up next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry and I were just talking about it in the break. Terrell Suggs also released by the Cardinals. There's a name that whether the Texans would be interested or not, you've got to believe a lot of playoff teams are going to be looking at because of the fact that he was just a year removed from still being a disruptive force on the defensive line of the Ravens. Didn't work out for him in Arizona, I guess. So we'll see. See if anybody bites on that as well and tries to bring Suggs into the lineup. As you know, we're doing the 12 Days of Giving and the 12 Days of Christmas here at ESPN 97.5. So today we've got another great prize. It's dinner for two at Chewy's. Right now, caller number 18, 713-780-3776. Caller 18, you get a delicious dinner for two to Chewy's Fine Tex-Mex, where they don't take much of anything seriously except their food. Stay tuned for your chance to win all day, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Today's gift is dinner for two at Chewy's, and several of the shows have these to give away. So stay tuned all day, but your chance right now, caller number 18. You would get dinner for two at Chewy's, and don't forget to book your holiday parties and catering now at Chewy's.com. Good luck to you.
I absolutely love Chewy's.
What is it, their green sauce that everybody talk about all the time?
It's sexual. It's sexual how good it is. I mean, I could go there and just eat chips and green sauce. The jalapeno ranch. Oh,
I understand that, but again.
What? Hey, you need to.
I think also from.
I understand that. Thank you. But also from the standpoint of like being a Wisconsin guy.
Yeah.
So I'm that way with queso too. So like I know which places like Papacito's has unbelievable queso.
Okay.
They're extremely expensive, but their queso is really good. And then there's other places where I know like they use the white cheese.
Yeah.
And everything. And I'm like, eh, I just.
Oh, you're racist. You don't like white cheese?
No, absolutely. Hmm. I'm absolutely racist. I've been that way my
whole
life.
That's how you're going to be. Yeah. Just hating on white cheese. Mm-hmm. The old Blanco cheese.
That's why I use the R word all the time. But at the same time, no. So, I can see where that makes a difference. But I think the other thing is the food still has to live up to expectations, right?
I think Chewy's
And Chewy's has got good food.
Oh, boy. Does it ever.
And you don't have to pay.
And it's fast and it's not expensive.
I was going to say, and it's not expensive because it's no nonsense. When you look at one of the any Chewy's you go into, they decorate with like people's old license plates and hubcaps and fun stuff, and they put pictures on the wall. They're not worried about like how expensive the booth is and the paintings on the wall and all the other things. The ambiance is the food is great. And that's what they base it on. And so ever since I've been in Houston, I've supported Chewy's.
Oh, yeah. I'm down for that.
Without question.
A lot of times I'll call the wife if I'm feeling like eating something, you know, not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be like, let's go out to dinner tonight. And she'll say, oh, what do you want? And I was like, I'll say, you know. And that's all I have to say. And we just go to Chewy's. We don't even have to. We'll just meet there, whatever. You know, that just means Chewy's. That's it.
And also, as we talked about in the past, the other thing is she was going to make that decision anyway. Because Lisa's the same way. No matter what, even if it's her idea, she ain't making the
decision.
Not
happening.
It's not happening, and I hate it, and it drives me nuts. And then when I push it and go, no, you make the choice, it could start a fight in our house.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, no, I'm not deciding this time, Lisa. You have to have some input. Sometimes she'll be like, and she'll walk, and she'll come back about 10 minutes later.
Somebody told us they make an app where you just go, all right, we're just going to let the app pick.
Oh, really?
And then it just goes, and it lands on
like
something,
that.
And that's what you go. And
I
if
like
she
that.
Don't like it, then you pick. Because otherwise, this is what we're eating.
I kind of like that because literally she'll come back like 10 minutes later going, no, screw that. I can't. You make that. And she gets all upset about it. I'm like, I'm just telling you, I always make the decision. And then it never fails. And I don't know if Nora's the same way. It never fails. No matter when we get takeout, she waits till we get it home and something's wrong.
Oh, yep.
And it just pisses me off.
Yeah, because like, then nobody's you feel like a jerk or like,
exactly.
Oh, my God. Do you want me to go back? No, I just.
That would
I'll
screw
make
up our whole dinner then because then you'd go
like,
back.
Ah!
The rest of the food would be cold. But yeah. And
the Taco Bell by my house is the worst Taco Bell in the history of Taco Bells. They have never gotten an order right. Our tacos were, last time we got it a couple days ago, it was cold. And they were soggy. Like who? It was just, dude, I got a soft taco that looked like somebody had dipped it in water.
Ooh.
It was all sweaty. I was like, how does a taco sweat? And they screw it up every single time. And so I'm going to go get Taco Bell. Text me your order. Do y'all do that? Where she texts you what she wants and then you go get it. Get back. I'm like, all right, cool. This is going to be good this time. And it's garbage. And she's like, well, I'm just not even hungry. I'm like, oh my God, what do you want? I'll go get it. What do you want? No, it's okay. I'll just make a ramen soup or something. I'm like, oh my God, it's the worst feeling in the world.
Hate it.
It's that you feel so guilty.
Yep. And every
and
time
angry,
we get takeout.
And angry.
I go, you do
time.
Realize, I don't know that anybody's gotten your takeout order right in the last year. And I go, seriously? And I said, you don't know what it does to me. Because then it's like, should I just go back anyway? And then we had, Lupe Tortillas is the same way as your Taco Bell experience. Every time we go to Lupe's, they screw up our order.
Yeah.
And I feel bad mentioning it. But then like last week, they forgot several things that we had specifically ordered. And so I called. And what I don't like is when you get the guy that goes, well, I'm responsible for a lot of that. So what would you like us to do? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, do you want to come back? And I go, no, because, I mean, we're ready to eat.
I'm not driving,
he goes, well, then what can we do for next time? And I'm like, you know what, man? You know who my order number is. My phone number's on there. But I'm like, I'm not here to tell you that. I'm just telling you how frustrated I am. Because I'm not looking at, even at that point, for free stuff. Yeah. I'm looking to make sure my wife's happy so I can enjoy a meal.
Right. By the way, speaking of all this misinformation and bad food, Jeshua Watts texted me, or tweeted me, and tagged you on it, Nick. And he tried to order the chicken minis today for lunch.
Yeah. I think
he was denied. It says breakfast items only available at this restaurant before 10:30.
Right. And I literally just responded to him. I don't know if that's because he clearly was doing it through like their app or like their screen, their little machine at the Chick-fil-A.
No. This is the app.
It's either the app or one of the machines, like the way Taco Bell does it, where there's like a machine, like a kiosk that you can order from. And I literally just ordered the minis this week.
So, what I bet you it is.
Maybe a location specific.
Yes, I bet you it's location specific.
That might be what it is. But I would try not doing it at the app.
I wouldn't put it past you to just make up those things.
I would love to, but I eat them. I always get the 10 pack. And they won't even let me, they won't even give me the combo with the 10 pack. I just eat all 10 by myself.
Really? Oh, you eat all 10 by yourself?
Yeah.
I'm very shocked.
And if they gave me fries and a drink, I would eat that as well. Yeah. But they won't give me the combo with the 10 pack.
Yeah.
By the way, why are we not getting his rap name?
I don't know. That fizzled. You know, you're not going to strike lightning twice in this. We'll do it eventually. I'm sorry you had to endure that yesterday.
Thanks, ICB.
He's just like, let's do it again. It's like it's over now. That ship sailed. We're on to Cincinnati.
Now, right. So now we've talked about. We were just talking about, too, about things that we've gone through and talked about and the whole wives and how they react, okay?
Yes.
And we've also talked about things today that we've talked about in the past on this show. I have another one that I've specifically put into the rundown today for you.
Oh, okay.
There may be more truth to this conspiracy theory that you've drummed up about one Stevie Wonder. And if you were not watching TNT last night...
You know who else saw this coming besides me? Stevie Wonder. I don't even know what this is about.
See what you did
there?
Well, you're going to love it, though. You are going to love it. So the topic of Stevie Wonder came up last night on, of all places, Inside the NBA.
Okay.
Shaq, of all people, started to chuckle, and they wanted to know what was up. And he said, I'm here to debunk a theory about Stevie Wonder and the fact that he is completely blind, and he told the story.
I'm going to tell you a Stevie Wonder story, but you're not going to believe it.
Come on, man.
No, I wouldn't.
I know the story. He's got to tell it.
I wouldn't
gotta
believe
tell it.
He's
got to tell it, Ernie. I know the story. He told me he's got to tell a story.
All right,
he's
go for it.
He's got to tell a story.
So, it's a true story.
It's a true story.
So,
according to Shaq,
we lived in a building on Wilshire. So you park your car and the valet's down there. So I'm already in the building. I'm coming through the lobby. Door opens. It's Stevie Wonder. He comes in, says, what's up, Shaq? Presses the button. Oh, it's true story. Presses the button, gets off on the floor, bathtub, goes to his room. I went and called every person I knew and told the story. They believe me. Oh, bro, he got on the elevator. He's like, what's up, Shaq? How you doing, big dog? Yes, he did. Yep. Wilshire Boulevard. Yep.
See? There's something to this.
So wait a minute. Because part of what they said was that... Some people say he's never, ever been officially completely blind, that he was legally blind. And I'd never heard that. I had always heard that from the get-go was, I think he told the story when I saw him in concert at the Toyota Center a couple years ago, where it was kind of a gradual thing, maybe. And Ray Charles was one in the movie, right?
Ray Charles had sight, and then by the age of like 4 or 5,
okay,
he
maybe
lost.
That was it. I always was under the impression that Stevie Wonder, his entire life was blind.
Yeah, I think it was.
I thought he was completely blind.
Me too.
But they kind of made mention of the fact that people have thought he could see a little bit. I'd never heard that.
So Lionel Richie, I just Googled it real quick because I was like, well, let's see if there's any new theories out. One day ago on the Vancouver Sun, Lionel Richie talked about this. He said, quote, I've been spending my whole life with him thinking he can see. I know he can see, the American Idol judge said it on the Kelly Clarkson show on Wednesday. I went to his house once. He says, want to hear a new song? I've got it in the car. Come on, go with me. He said, you sit in the passenger side, I'll sit in the driver's side. He cranks the car up. He puts the tape in, right? And then he does this, turns around and starts driving back down the driveway. I scream, Stevie, what are you doing? He said, I got you, didn't I? But he drove down the driveway. What? Stevie's not blind. I'm telling you.
So the minute I heard it, I was like, oh, God, I got to bring it up because I know this is Barry's conspiracy theory.
That is so amazing.
I had to bring
it. You're the best.
But
thank you for finding that.
But yet I told you when he was here and I told you what a great dude he was and how he treated our security guys and all that. And our head of security said that he went into great detail about the technology he had to read the TV guide and also to pay with bills out of his wallet and know how much so he wasn't giving too much. Like to a taxi cab driver, instead of giving him a 20, he could give him a 50 right, or 100, just, yeah. And there was a way to read the dollars. So that would indicate he couldn't read the money. So I don't know.
That's so funny, though.
Things that make you go, hmm.
I would love to have been on the elevator just to see Shaq's face.
Especially nowadays with technology where he could have pulled his phone out and videotaped to go, Stevie, did I just see you say hi to me without knowing it was me and then hit the button?
Yeah.
See what he said.
That would have been great.
So there you have that. So, okay. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you there's a lot of great games going on this weekend. We know that a lot of people are going to be watching the NFL. A lot of people are going to be watching NBA basketball, college basketball, soccer tomorrow morning. Well, guess what? There's one place that you can go if you want to get out of the house. You can get all of them on different screens, all right near your table. And you can have the best food and the best beverages. It's Twin Peaks. 5 Houston area locations, so pick the one closest to you. But I'm telling you right now, they are the ultimate sports lodge with the menu to match. You can pair any of their made-from-scratch menu items with their frosty 29-degree draft beers, served, of course, by those beautiful Twin Peaks girls, and you're in for a legendary sports-watching experience, and you do none of the work and reap all of the benefits. It's Twin Peaks. They're going to have all the different games on. They're going to have all the packages so that there's not a game that you can't get that you want to see. Well, I mean, short of like Formula One and badminton. But I mean, if it's a big time college or pro league, they're going to have it for you. And they got plenty of great, beautiful TVs where you can watch it at your table while you enjoy all of their great food and drinks. It's like I keep telling you, and I would not tell you if I didn't believe in it totally. It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views. If you want to get out of the house and watch sports, it's got to be Twin Peaks.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Wrapping up hour number 2, 3-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you guys hanging with us on an FYI Friday. John Wessling, our comedian of the week. Long history here in Houston at this station and otherwise, and has a new album dropping. So we put him out there as comedian of the week, as Barry told you about. So very cool there. He's got one more clip at 3:15. Sarah Barshop, 3:30, ESPN's Houston Texan beat writer. So we'll try and get some inside scoop. Lots of information coming out. Derrick Henry hasn't practiced for 2 days.
I'm excited about that.
That's
big. I don't wish injury, but in fantasy, all's fair in love and war, and I am having to face Derrick Henry this week. And after the four games he's had in a row,
he's been playing listen good to
this.
Football.
This is his yardage that he's rushed for in the last four games against KC, 188, Jacksonville, 159, Indy, 149, Oakland, 103. And he's got 7 touchdowns over those four games. So if he doesn't play this week, I'm all right with that. I'm going up against
Derrick Henry, and I kind of need him to play.
Yeah, well, I don't care.
And my team is more important than yours.
I disagree.
Here's a tidbit: Texans may want to stop the run this week.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. Now, Adoree Jackson has already been ruled out, as has Darren Bates for the Titans.
It's big.
And Fuller is still listed as questionable, along with Brennan Scarlett and Taywan Jones for the Texans.
I just keep going back to that conversation, Nick, with Lance the other day when they did the numbers and figured out Will Fuller's played about 65% of the snaps since he became a Texan. Mm. And you're like, so you're paying him full price, but you're getting half the production. Yeah. At some point, I mean, I was so
kind
frustrated.
Of impressed with 65% considering it's Will Fuller.
Seems like it would have been less, right? Yeah. That he played it.
I'm watching the news last night and they're interviewing him and there's no sense of urgency. Like, I got to play this week. And I'm in tea. He goes, yeah, I just keep going through the motion, going through the reps to make sure I get my timing back. And then hopefully I'll be ready to go on a this is the biggest game of your season right now.
It's got to be frustrating though, right?
But it's what I'm saying. At some point, you have to vocalize some of that and go, you know what, man? I love it here. And I know what our offense is when I'm healthy. And I just, but the vibe I got was just like, real laid back, relaxed. Like, yeah, man, you know, if I'm just making sure I get my timing back and the tempo's there. And then hopefully I can play Sunday.
It's a guy that has to deal with pain and tightness every single week. I mean, he wants to be there and he wants to be on the, like, even after a win, even after he had those amazing games, he would come out after the game and say, you know what? I still, my hamstring still feels tight.
Same thing here. Especially this year, Nick, he had the one big game and what's the next thing you know? He's on Atlanta. The injury report and then he's not playing again.
Damn. Yeah, he had that game against Atlanta and you're like, this is it.
I think that's more of a discouraged nature than anything else.
We said that the key to making the Denver game an easy game, if Will Fuller's playing, they should be good to go. Oh, midweek, he's out. And I think that they did that coasting, thinking that they were going to win, they could hold him back, and that he'd be ready for Tennessee.
Yeah, and, you know, the good news is that as part of that Tunsil deal, you got Kenny Stills. So you basically have your two if you decide to move on from Will Fuller.
Now, going back to something else we said we were talking about.
I think they should move on from Will Fuller at this point. It's become a – look, move on from Will Fuller. You don't like QT, that's fine. Go out and get your third receiver because your one is Hopkins and your two is Fuller. I mean, Stills. So you're good. I'm good with that 1-2 punch of Hopkins and Stills. Add your third receiver and let's move on.
Because you can rely on Kenny Stills, and he's still got the potential to get better.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say was, going back to the points we were making about Janoris Jenkins too, I'm pretty – confident in saying you don't have Kenny Stills and have as a part of that trade if Bob McNair is still the owner of this team.
Could be. Very well could be.
I think that's the one thing when we talked about a little, maybe not completely changed, but a different mentality towards players you're going to bring in since Cal took over for his father.
And Smith is gone because, you know, Smith with his...
Well, he's related to
Bob,
the McNairs.
Right. Yeah. But you know, Bob brings in Smith and says, this is how I want this organization to run. This is the kind of people I want on my football team. And now that that's gone, like you said, with Cal and Bill O'Brien's like, look, I'm just making football decisions. Right. I don't care that this guy kneeled during the anthem. That doesn't affect on the field for me. All I care about is winning football games, and this guy's a good football player, period. And I love that.
I think everybody will embrace that because there's been so much frustration in the past. Yeah. Look at just what they did in the last six weeks. The fact that in the past they would have never sniffed thinking about bringing a guy that was just cut by another team because there's got to be trouble there. They're not going to – you know, the same way they shied away from every single opportunity, and AJ always goes back to the fact that, you know, they literally passed on Marcus Peters. Yeah. Because of the off the field.
Yeah.
And skipped on a guy that had all pro talent. And it's been their reputation forever. The fact that in the last couple of weeks, they've kicked the tires and done things that we speculated on here, but what, nah, they'll never do that though, because that's not them. And they bring in a Hargraves and he's helped.
Yeah.
You know, they've done some things that have been a little bit out of the box compared to what Texans football has been in the past. So maybe they do.
Maybe they've turned a corner and they're going to start more like a football team and less like a socially aware business.
Yeah, because Kenny Stills has been a pretty huge part of what they've been able to accomplish so far to this season.
Yeah.
Just for the multiple positions he can play. And when he's touched the football, it's been first downs and touchdowns.
Yep.
For the most part.
Yep. It feels like.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Last week wasn't a great week for him. And, you know, the Indy game wasn't a great. But outside of that, he seems to be making contributions. Doesn't have a lot of touchdowns. But he seems Stills is the guy that when they need a big play, he seems to be the guy outside of Hopkins that makes that big play for them.
Yep.
And I like the fact that he can take the lid off the defense. I think he might be a little banged up. That's why we haven't seen him.
Well, he's taken some hits too. Yeah. When Deshaun's gotten rushed and tried to make a quick throw, Stills unfortunately was the recipient of some big hits because of it. But when you look at it, he's not going to be Kiki Kuti. You're not going to have to worry about if he's healthy or if he's going to drop the football or fumble it. You're just like with Will Fuller in his hands. At least, you know, when he's on the field, he's giving it his all, and he's going to make a positive impact on that offense. And he's trying to be out there. My point is, I look at some of these guys, I'm like, how hard are you trying to get back out there?
Oh, I'm with you. Will Fuller is such a frustrating.
Oh my God, with all the talent in the world.
Yeah. And you're just like, dude, you started catching the ball more. Like, he's made some amazing catches that you're like, wow, didn't see that coming from hands of stone over there.
Sure. And this is why you make the comparison between Will Fuller and Carlos Correa, because they have all the ability in the world. And they have constantly been talked about as being a guy that could be a difference maker. And that's why the frustration level overflows, because you're like, but he's not out there. But 60% of the time.
Yeah.
Each guy. One city. Not fair. I feel for you, Houston. I really do. All right. So we've got two in the books, one to go. 60 minutes left of the show. 1 hour on the clock. When we come back, we'll take you through hour number three of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.